This is a special partners package from Christ Family Ministry. Pastors Arome and Avisi Tukula say a big thank you for partnering and for excelling in this grace of giving. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.
1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. Popular text of scripture. 1 Chronicles 12, 32. Just read portions of scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. The Bible says, of the sons of Issachar. You know, David is talking about the various tribes that produced the troops that followed him to war. And they were commending them for different things. The Bible says, and of the sons of Issachar, the Bible says, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Amen. They were cutting edge. I know that Pastor Bobby Phillips understands what it means to have 200 chiefs, 200 generals. So if you have 200 generals from a tribe, the Bible says, who had understanding of the times. Powerful. Psalm 145 verse 4. Psalm 145 verse 4. Psalm 145 verse 4. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Now, Revelations chapter 13, verse 8. Then, Revelations 13, verse 8. You won't forget this message in a hurry. Revelations chapter 13, verse 8. The Bible says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Wow. I want to talk to us this evening about building for the future. You know, it's just interesting how you come to a place and the Spirit of God begins to just say things in your heart. You know, right from when, you know, Pastor Jay was talking, and then I heard Pastor Robert talk, and then Judy came up. I said, after this, I think we can go. But we will not go. There's more. You know, sometimes God just says things through people to affirm what he has asked you to say. So at the matter of two or more witnesses, a thing is established. Now I'm building for the future. This has been so strong in my heart. There's a specific message that God put in my heart a month ago when I was praying for this meeting. And God, you know, said, tell your partners to function with my ability. To function with my ability. And yesterday as I was praying, you know, he began to lay the foundation for what he was saying. So it came out so clear. You know, messages are like babies. Let me use Pastor Jay's words. Sermons. Sermons are like babies you conceive. You know, when you begin to conceive a message, it takes time. Then, you know, begin. So I'm in the fourth trimester of this message. Not just third. Are you getting me? So I have reached. The thing has passed. The child is overdue. Mm-hmm. So it's not just three trimesters. Now this one is the fourth. It's a fourth of the fourth master, whatever you want to call it. But I want you to just follow. Hallelujah. You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 3 verse 19, something interesting happens. I've read that scripture with a critical eye. Where scripture tells us that man, you know, a lot of time when we look at Genesis chapter 3 and we read the headings, we think that man was cursed. How many of you feel God cursed man? You know, we keep God cursed. We believe that God cursed the woman, God cursed the man. But a critical study of that scripture, you discover that God didn't curse man. He has never cursed the man that he has blessed. scripture tells us in very explicit terms, God doesn't bless and curse at the same time. Are you with me? God doesn't bless and curse. You know when Balaam was hired by Balak to come curse the children of Israel? It's not because the children of Israel were perfect in all their ways. But there was something that Balaam said. When Balaam was asking God, should I go? Because he had been hired to come and perform a curse ceremony. And God said, you can't curse the people because they are blessed. Now, that's a powerful statement. He didn't say you can't curse the people because they are flawless. He didn't say you can't curse the people because they are upright. Uprightness is very important. But he was saying you can't curse the people because I have blessed them. Meaning, if God has blessed you, he can't come back and curse you. And Genesis 1:28 tells us that God blessed them, saying, now, is it that there were no consequences for their action? There was. But God didn't open his mouth to curse them. And to Abraham, this is the word that was used. He says, cursed is the ground for your sake. In verse 19, he now says, in the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And the first thing that comes to mind, I was telling them in Boko Believers Convention, that don't be quick to interpret sweat as a curse. Yoshua's energy has been exerted. Because the focus there is not the sweat of his face, it's the bread. Now I'm laying a foundation. God, this is the first time bread is mentioned, and God is giving man bread to eat. He says, till you return to the ground. Till you return to the ground. That bread was sustenance. That bread is going to prolong your life. The consequence of what you've done is that you will return to the ground. But bread will sustain you. Bread will sustain you. Up until this time, man only ate herbs. He only ate from plants. He plucked to eat. But God said, from today, you will eat, I'll give you bread. Now, if you look into Genesis chapter 3, you will see the communion. Because he's the first to slay an animal and use it as a covering. He's the first to give man bread. So you can see Jesus. That's why when we read in our text, Revelation 13:8, whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible said that Lamb was slain from the foundations of the world. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. So everything that was happening in Genesis chapter 3, hello, God was fully aware. And God had a solution. And what we need to understand is that there is no problem that his solution had not been prescribed before. That before there was ever a problem, there was first a solution. See, with God, it's not a problem that creates the solution. It's the solution that handles the problem. So there is nothing you face in your life that God has not answered, that God has not prepared for. So he says, from the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. You shall eat bread. I know one of the things about bread, it takes the collaborative effort of more than one person to produce bread. Because there are inputs involved in bread. Flour has to come from somewhere. Fire has to come from somewhere. Are you getting me? Someone has to mix the dough. Am I talking? I don't need to work in a bakery to have an idea of how bread works. But what God was introducing to man was the concept of cooperation. The concept of partnership. And the sweat there actually means that it's going to be joint effort. That somebody is going to be involved with what I am doing. And listen to me, it's a joy to sweat together. Are you with me? It's a joy to sweat together. So, strategic alliances are part of God's plan right from the beginning for man. Man was never designed to operate in isolation. We need to come together to have bread to eat and to have bread to serve. Serve people bread. to serve people something of worth, we must come together. I'm yet to see a bakery where only one person bakes. Two of us. People are involved. That's why individual success is an illusion. The concept of succeeding alone, it's an illusion. See, even sport that is played by individuals, you know, there's some sport that doesn't require team effort, like table tennis, lawn tennis, except you are playing doubles, right? Athletes don't run together in a group. You know what I mean by that? Except it's a relay. That's why they say you won your gold medal. But even at that, at the highest level, there are people involved in your life. You have a coach. You have families. You have people who inspired you. So the mindset that you can succeed alone is never God's idea. It's never God's idea. There's nothing like a self-made man. A woman gave birth to you. Very important. Even if nobody has ever done anything for you, somebody gave birth to you. Do you know that God could not even bring Jesus into this world without the cooperation of a woman? Notice. Not that he can't. There's nothing beyond him. But that is how he designed the earth to function. That everything concerning you has another person attached. I was telling someone, do you know what our world would be like if everyone decides not to do something? Now there's this mistaken idea of grace that puts people into a coma called laziness. And it's interpreted as grace. That's not true. Sorry to say this anywhere. Work is not works. Works is dependent on self. Work is release of grace. Are you with me? I always say that anybody who is lazy does not believe he's graced. It's an unspoken statement. Now, you know, if you think that we shouldn't work, like some think, do you know what that means? Scribble is saying that there's a part you contribute to the system that you are willing to forgo. Now, hello church. I believe I'm talking to Christians. If everybody refuses to go to work tomorrow, imagine your life. You know, even some people's jobs that we trivialize, when they are not around, I may even know you become handicapped. Do you get it? Amen. Imagine everybody says, we have entered into our rest. And he that has entered into his rest has ceased from all struggle. Imagine everybody caught that revelation the way some people are catching it. So you come to the filling station, you need to fuel your car. The guy says, I've entered into my rest. You go to the bank, you want to withdraw money. The banker has entered into his rest. Hello? Then the policeman, you go to report the case to the policeman. He says, why are you coming here? He says, they are robbing close to the house. They say, what? He says, go and come on that day. We've entered into our rest. What? He that has entered into his rest has ceased from struggle. Do you get what I'm saying? Or you have dollars, but you need to spend naira. You go to bury the change. And all those guys said, we just also caught the rema, not coronavirus. We just caught the revelation. We have entered into our rest. You know, you'll be frustrated. Then you need to go for a wedding next Saturday, and you go to give your clothes, your shebi to someone to make. And as you are coming there, the guy's shop is locked. Where are you now? He said, I've ceased from my works. I've entered into my rest. I just got a revelation that sweat is not of God. Do you understand me? There will be no sustenance. I read this scripture recently. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9. So the Message translation says, it's better to have a partner than go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. Do you see that? Verse 10. We'll read up to verse 12. He said, and if one falls down, the other helps. And if there's no one to help, tough. He says, two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. Mm-hmm. By yourself, you are unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. He says, can you round up a third? A three-stranded rope isn't easily what? Snap. Meaning that more associations, the better your life. So associations are important. Partnership is important. Follow this message. Amen. Because God made us to depend on each other. God made us to depend on each other. God made you to depend on the person who provides the raw materials for your business. God made that person to depend on you. And how many of you know, it's through dependence that we build communities. It's through dependence we build communities. Without codependence, there will be no what? There will be no community. So it's through the process of community. And what is a community? Relationships and partnerships. And that's the exact way he designed the church to operate. Jesus came here on earth. Hello? Do you know he wouldn't have been able to do what God called him to do without people? He was not being bogus when he chose 12 disciples. He chose 12 men that they might be with him, that they might walk with him. Listen, without the 12 disciples, Jesus' ministry wouldn't have been a success. And that's how the church grew into a community. Hallelujah. So I'm saying this to let you know that you cannot go too far in life until you begin to place premium on the relationships and partnerships that God brings into your life. It doesn't matter what you're doing as a partner. I'm speaking this to you as a partner. You must recognize the place of people in your life. People are important. Like they say, they are your greatest what? Asset. Jesus said, if any man hears my voice, I and my Father will come and then we'll do what? We'll make our abode with him. Doesn't that sound like community? I heard this joke that there was a time they arrested a man and they said, you know, the policeman said, you're under arrest. Say for what? He says, for driving alone at this time of the night. You know, I said, no, I'm not alone, no. He said, you're alone. He said, I'm never alone. He said, God the Father is with me. Jesus is with me. The Holy Spirit is me. The man has said, hey, that's overload. You're under arrest. I'm going to charge you for, how can you carry the whole God? You carry the Son. Then you carry the Spirit inside this car. You're under arrest. They must arrest you. That's the law. But this is what I want you to see. God the Father. Then, he didn't allow you. Remember what Jesus said? Tarry here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. That means it's not just enough to have a relationship with the Father. It's important to have someone who empowers you. Partnership. The Holy Spirit is our senior partner. So you can see the concept of what? Partnership everywhere. God is involved in our lives. Now, I'm not talking about covenant partnership alone. Covenant partnership is one of the relationships and partnership God brings into your life. Because you need partners on your career. You need partners. that vision that you are dreaming and you are praying about, you need people. See, one of the at the beginning of this year, one of the prayers I kept praying for people, and you're going to be here tomorrow morning as we pray, is that God will give you the right set of people. And that you will recognize the right set of people in your life. I look at my own life. Guess what? You know, I always sit down and I think about my life. You know, I won't be where I am today without people. That's why I value people. I'm a product of relationships, of partnership. You know, some years ago, I was looking for a place to stay. And I will never forget that evening. I've had some interesting moments in my life, in my walk with God. I've carried my bag before, not knowing where I was going to sleep. You know, and I remember that night. I said, okay, at least I knew Pastor Steve. So I went to his house. We ate fried yam. And the mom saw me with the bag and said, what happened? So I was just trying to beat around the bush. He said, drop your bag inside, let them find you a place to sleep. That's how I slept there for a couple of days. But I always name them, I call them the women that God used to bless me. I still talk about them. Pastor Steve's mom, Pastor Doyum's mother. I've always been so blessed. They'll give me a whole room to myself. And then I ended up with Pastor Wumi's mother. So you see where this connection is. Amen. They've been part of my life. And then from Wumi's house, I ended up in Pastor Tom's house. So you see, I can never forget these women. And listen, before you crucify me, I'm not the first man that has women in his life. Luke chapter 8, let me show you. Luke chapter 8, just before some of you. If you check your life, you will discover that you are not where you are without people. You might have been ignorant of it. You might not have treated those relationships well, but they were necessary for you to be where you are. They're necessary for you to be where you are. And listen, from where you are to where you are going, you need more people. The Bible says, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits. All these women I knew, I don't know where they are coming from. But the Bible says, these ones were healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come seven demons. Verse 3 says, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who provided for him from their substance. This is talking about Jesus. If Jesus needed people providing for him from their substance, you are not an exception. So no vision is too heavenly for partnership. You can't say, Kai, this thing God called me. I am fully equipped for it. I need no man. That's a lie. That's the beginning of a fall. Do you understand? Why am I saying all this? Even the gospel walks through what? Partnership. Amen. You know, where we read in Revelation 13 verse 8, the Bible talks about the Lamb that was slain from the foundations of the earth. How many of you believe the power of the gospel? No. Now, how many of you believe it religiously, or you really believe? You know, there's a religious answer we give in church. Of course, if you put your hand down, you will be a suspect. Just like I said, how many of you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Why will you sit in church and not believe that he's the Son of God? So that's what I'm saying. But how many of you believe in your heart that the gospel is the power of God? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Are we following? It is the power of God unto salvation. Do you know it took coronavirus for the world to discover that human beings are all the same? For the first time, at least in my own time, I am seeing almost everything shutting down on account of coronavirus. And it's the only virus that has shown that human beings, regardless of color, regardless of race, regardless of status, we are all what? Humans. And we connect one way or the other. Except those of us who are in Christ. When I woke up this morning and I got that notification that the Arsenal coach, Mikel Arteta, had coronavirus. I said, so as protected as he is, president, the minister of health in Britain was tested positive for it. 3 weeks ago, the health minister of Iran was denying coronavirus and was coughing. And now they've declared it a pandemic. But you know the sad thing? It didn't have to come to that for us to all know that we are humans. That whether we like it or not, there's something in someone that connects you to someone somewhere. Meaning that even geographical locations do not serve as a divide. Like I'm talking to some of you here, praise God. There are people you need. Now flip the other side. Beyond coronavirus, there is a common thread. It's called the gospel. We can all connect on the grounds of the gospel in different places, regardless of what we do, regardless of color. See, some of you here, we reach out to people in Asia. You reach out to people in Europe. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's something that connects us. The gospel is powerful. But you know the thing? This is what I want you to see. This gospel that we are preaching, this gospel that we've been called to preach, you know, I believe the gospel. I believe the gospel. The more I look at world events and I look at situations around the world, the more I'm convinced that the gospel is the core answer to human problem. The more I look at the selfishness of man, the more I look at the injustice of man to fellow man, the more I'm convinced that nothing can truly reach to a man and bring change except the love of God. And nothing can reveal that love except the gospel. And the gospel is older than time. You know, some things are timeless. They don't change. The gospel will never change. Whether it's preached with boldness or it's preached calmly, it is still the same gospel. Whether it's sung in a song, hello, in whatever way we bring it, it's the gospel. The gospel is not time bound. It was here before we came. The gospel is powerful. We've never asked for another son. That's why I don't really like people branding it the healing gospel, the prosperity gospel. It is the full gospel. We might emphasize some sections of it, but it's not another gospel. Because Paul said, if another gospel comes other than that which I have given, that man is accursed. So this gospel is powerful. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 verse 8, let's go there. What is the heart of this gospel? So I say, what are you doing? I'm building a message. Galatians chapter 3 verse 8. Because I want to believe that every one of us is here because of the gospel. How many of you are here because of the gospel? God bless you. The Bible says, and the scripture foreseeing that God will justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the what? To Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. How many of you can see the gospel connecting people? In you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Meaning the gospel, hallelujah, was preached even long before Jesus came. And what does the gospel do? The gospel brings the power for change, regardless of nation. Regardless of race or tribe. See, when I told you that we are taking the world, are you listening to me? We are taking the world. Because by design, God said, I blessed you to be a blessing. You will hear Christ Family Ministries in the biggest cities of the world. With you. I know the beautiful thing. That Galatians 3:8 was not spoken to a pastor. It was spoken to a regular man called Abraham. God preached it to a regular man called Abraham. So what I'm saying is that the gospel is not the pastor's means of survival. The gospel is for the businessman. The gospel is for the career man. The gospel is for the baker. The gospel is for the engineer. The gospel is for everybody. He preached ahead to him. He said, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. That means in Christ Jesus, if you truly understand the gospel, you will see yourself as that which the world needs. You are needed. You know, God spoke this word to me sometime last year. It so blessed me. Where is the gospel not needed? Where is the gospel not needed? You know, if you know any place, you say this place, they don't need the gospel. Okay, let me see. Alright, so the gospel is needed everywhere. What that means is that if you're a man with this gospel, you are needed everywhere. That's why I say I'm a global citizen. I am not pursuing an agenda. You know, like Pastor Robert was saying, we are not pursuing an agenda. We don't have another agenda. I said it, I think, 2 Wednesdays ago in church here in Abuja. You know, as people were looking at me, you know, a lot of times when we hear purpose taught in church, you know, purpose is taught. Have you found your purpose? Have you found your purpose? Have you found your purpose? Sometimes I've found my purpose. I've found my purpose. You know, yes, I sit in some of those classes. I listen to those things. But I'm not a fool. If you read the Bible, it was not written to chartered accountants. You will never see Paul saying, have you found your purpose in life? You are called to be a this. You are called to be that. Purpose is straight to live for God. The gospel, he didn't even say, because I'm a lawyer, that's my purpose. Did you ever see Paul say, I found my purpose in law? No. He's only saying to the Jew, I became a Jew. To the Romans, I became a Roman. What he was saying is that what we do is how we express purpose. But the purpose is one. Do I have a witness here? The purpose is one. The purpose is one. That is why, listen, no Christian has truly found purpose until he has understood the gospel and begins to carry it around. You can rise to any height, be anything, but until you understand God's heart, that he has blessed you for a purpose, to be a blessing to nations. Are you with me? He has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to another person, to the ethnos. You have not found purpose. At least not God's purpose. You know, some people say, my purpose is to do hip-hop. That's not your purpose. If that is purpose and it's generic, then the other people at the other side have found purpose. We're only expressing it. We have different expressions, but the purpose is one. I'm not going to go into all that tonight. Amen. So what are we saying? The gospel is the good spell that we cast upon people, that we cast upon nations to bring change. So if a man truly desires change and is not thinking the gospel, he is only fantasizing. Until we become deliberate about the message. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Now, when God said, in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, when he called Abraham and blessed Abraham, and he said, you are the families of the earth to be blessed. Who are the families of the earth? Who are the families of the earth? Are families of the earth robots? Are they goats? They are human beings. So he said, I am blessing you to be a blessing. He said, I'm blessing you because of people. So I'm here because of people. I'm here because of people. And what is it that beats with God's heart? John 3:16. Let's go there. Let's go to John 3:16. What does God think when he sees people? I was telling someone, I said, this coronavirus thing just saddens my heart. Because God loves people. And he has provided a solution. There's no other name. You know, in church we preach there's no other name. But we go out and live our lives as though there are other options. You know, as though there are other options. In fact, sometimes we overemphasize other options. There's no other name given under heaven by which man can be saved. You know, but you see people go, I was telling them during Boko Believers Convention, don't be known as a chemist. Be known as a preacher. Don't be known as an analyst. Be known as someone who spreads the gospel. I'm sure this coronavirus, some people will not even share 1 Peter. They will not even read 2:24. They will not even share Isaiah 53. Guess what they will be telling people? Wash your hands. See, let me tell you how this thing can be prevented. Wash your hands. you know, wash your hands every five minutes, every 10 carry a sanitizer. There's this particular one I saw, it's the most effective one. You see, it's because in your mind, you have not understood that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. That if a righteous man runs into it, there is safety. If we all truly understood the gospel, hello church, I'm telling you the truth. That's why you should press in to understand the gospel. If you truly understood the gospel, you will understand that every human problem is solved in this message. It is solved in this human message. You know, when I see some Christians talking about business and talking about success, and they say, look, this one is not church. The problem with church, no, there's no problem with church. It's your perception of the church. It's that you have not understood the church and the message of the church. That's why you think there's still something. You know, Jesus said that, Jesus spoke of a narrow gate. And he spoke of a what? A broad gate. You know, before I used to think that scripture means heaven and hell. Well, he wasn't saying anything about heaven and hell. He was saying that there's a narrow gate and there's a broad gate. You know the thing about the broad gate? It means there are options. It's the broad gate that says that we have many ways to go to heaven. You hear some people say you can find God through this path, you can find God through this path, you can find God through that path. Jesus said, no. There's only one way to God. That is me. There's only one way to life. You know what it means for you to stand up after they've given you the law, you've lived by the law for years. You say, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, John 14. And no one comes to the Father except through me. That sounds a bit arrogant. That sounds a bit braggadocious. Am I talking to somebody? But that is how raw the truth is. But you know what Jesus said? He said, there's a narrow way that leads to life. What is he saying? That this road might be narrow, but that is where you will find the largeness of life. That means it's not a narrow path. Mm-mm. It's a narrow way to a big life. But options is a broad path to a narrow life. So Jesus is exclusive. He has put himself as the only way. We don't have multiple doors. But guess what? It's still inclusive because he invites all to come. So every person, regardless of race or color, can come through this one way and experience a broad life. I wrote an article in... You know, in those days I used to write healing letters. Healing letters. And I had a friend, Chukwuma. He got born again. Came to church. That was in those days of IBM. Not computers. When electronic typewriters first came out. And Chukwuma had one in his office. And I will write those letters. Recently, I stumbled on one. And, you know, and he will help me type it. It was just such a joy to see an electronic typewriter type your article, Healing for All. And I started reading it. And I was blessed. Even me, I was blessed. I said, wow. This thing was written, I think it was written in 1997. Yeah, 1997. That was before the new millennium. And I'm still blessed in the old millennium. It was just such a blessing. And you know how I started it? Someone said, you wrote it and you're talking about it. Yes, that's how I started. Let me tell you how I started it. I said, for years, man, I've been looking for the cure for health, for the cure for diseases. But Jesus found it over 2,000 years ago at the cross. As I read it, I said, even today, this truth still resonates in my heart like it was doing then. I have not found another cure for sickness. I've not found another cure for poverty. Men, see, that different programs, UN programs, with all due respect to Judy, are you getting me? Just go and walk there. But no man can solve a spiritual problem. UNDP can, UNICEF can cure children. When we try to play God in our own world, we lose it. Now, there's something I want you all to do tonight, amen, is to have this gospel resonate in your heart. There's something you should leave here with tonight. Is that, look, this gospel, if I have it, I have the greatest product that solves human problem. It will answer dying businesses. It will answer broken marriages. And guess who are custodians of this gospel? The church. Ephesians 1:3. You know, Paul's prayer for the church. So, quickly, hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:23. The Bible says, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The church, the custodian of the gospel. We feel all in all. But I like the way the Message translation puts it. Let's read the Message. Now the Message says, the church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body, in which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. You know, oh, thank you, Lord. Can I tell you something? The world needs you more than you need the world. Tap your neighbor. Say, neighbor, the world needs you more than you need the world. Well, you know what we think? We feel we need the world. I need this job. I need this. I need this customer. I need this position. No. Listen. That's what Paul was saying when he says it's the fullness of him that filled all in all. He was saying that, look, the church is not peripheral. Are you getting me? To the world. We're not the one who need the world. It's the world that needs me. See, when a believer begins to think like this, he's viewing life from a different plane. If you don't have a job, you have the gospel. If your business has not hit its peak yet, you have the gospel. You have what they need. You know, I pray you get this. You know, we live our lives as though we are servants to systems. No. Systems need us. Do you know why there is so much decay and there is so much? Today when we're driving from Boko, I saw the Ministry of Works, and nothing was working in the Ministry of Works. And I said, that's the Ministry of Works. I said, that's the Ministry of Works. And nothing is working. But Scripture answers these questions. You know, a lot of us are always praying, let governments change. I know you're already looking forward to the next election. Let's see who the next president is going to be. When this president comes, I'm sure something will be better. Listen, you'll be more disappointed. I don't care which party, whether it's the one your father formed, it doesn't change anything. Those of you who voted this current administration in, put your hand down. Now, some of you are smart. You got it. Were you not expectant? What were you expecting? That by now, how many of you were expecting corruption to cease? Now, have you lifted your hope from this government to the next one? Unconsciously, you are saying, let this term finish. We'll surely vote out. I discovered that the cries in Nigeria are not different from the ones in Europe, because we are all humans. But you know what something is telling you unconsciously is that you need a government to have a better life. No, you don't understand this. It's until we begin to think that this government needs me, this place called government, this system needs me, they need me, we will never rise up to the occasion. And we will never rise up to the occasion to serve the gospel. So guess what I see the church do sometime? I told you I'm teaching on building for the world, for the future. You know what I see us doing? We are carrying the solution in our pockets. We are complaining about the diseases, and we are never bringing out the solution for the problem. Listen, but you are living here. There is something God is birthing in Christ Family Center. A church of influence. Are you getting me? We will not hide the solution any longer. See, those industries need you more than you need them. Yes, I know that you have a CV, you are trying to prepare it so that you can apply for a job. No, but the world needs you. Say it again. Say, the world needs me. Say, the world needs me. Matthew chapter 5. The world needs you. The Air Force needs you. The academic system needs me. You know, it gives you a different perspective to life. Anyone who is not saved is part of the entity called the world. Your boss needs you. Have you noticed that every time the Bible refers to people who are served under people, it shows them a solution? Saul was the king. David was God's man in that house. Saul needed David more than David needed Saul. Of course, he had the palace, but every time those demonic issues come to him, he needed a David playing the strings. Do you know David was preferring solutions for Saul before he brought down Goliath? He was in court. He was in the court before he ever met Goliath. And you can imagine how serious Saul's problem was, because he didn't even know the boy who used to play music for him. He didn't recognize him. He says, whose son is this? There is a young girl who was taken as a slave into the house of a Syrian general by the name Naaman. We don't even know her name. We only know Jesus preached her. Was she not a slave in Naaman's house? Can I ask you a question? Who needed who more? Naaman needed a slave girl more than the slave girl needed who? Naaman. See, the world needs you. Are you getting me? So don't be disillusioned by the fact that they say, no, this door closes, that door closes. No. The world needs you more than you need the world. And this is the mentality that brings about victory. Matthew 5:13. Jesus said, you, say me, you are the salt of the earth. He says, and if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Go to the next verse. Remember, men, you are the light of the world. The city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Then scripture says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are where? All who are in the house. Verse 16 says, he said, let your light, in the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. What is Jesus saying? You are the solution. You are the salt. You are the light. But you must stay relevant. You must stay relevant. You must stay relevant. You know, before we just feel, how many of you have thought in the past, this scripture has interpreted that if you lose your saltiness, you know, and you lose your flavor, God will cast you out. No. The Bible says it's men that will trample on you. So if the church finds men trampling on them, are you getting me? It's because they've lost their what? Their relevance. We must be relevant if we don't want to be trampled over. If we keep complaining that look at what they are doing to the church, look at what they are saying to the church, look at how they are treating the church, it's because the church has lost its relevance, because nobody will light a lamp and put it under a bushel, saying that God did not make us his children so that we walk this earth without any form of relevance or influence. He has birthed influence in us. He's expecting us to act as solutions in that company. In that institution, you will not be trampled underfoot. Yeah. No, you didn't hear me. See, I want you to leave here tonight saying to yourself, no more will I be walked over. Now, I'm not saying you go into that place and begin to impose yourself. No. There is a way. Hallelujah. I love what Pastor Robert was saying. I was wondering how him like this, are you getting me, has so much influence in that institution that everybody looks upon him, that salt. I've discovered that no matter how water is, just drop a pinch of salt in water. You cannot deny the presence of salt in it. And the Bible uses some very careful words. It says, well, salt. One of the things it does is that it stimulates your gland. They are, whatever you call it. Amen. Test glands in your mouth that when you have salt in food, are you getting me? There are these reactions that the salt helps you to access certain, you know, feelings and there's certain hormones in you. Listen to me, praise God. The Bible says that's how you are. You don't need to be the CEO of a place. You don't need to be the general manager of a place to influence a place. But the Bible says if you lose your influence, if you are not influential, if you refuse to let that light shine, men will trample under you. See, it is not right for people to pass by a church and laugh. That means the church is losing its relevance. It is not proper for you to be in an office and when they want to take decision, they say, go out. Men are trampling under you. Hello. They were telling me of a particular situation about one man highly placed in government, and they say at the point in time, if they want to do something, they'll say, go out. And I was telling them, I said, no, it's because he has lost his relevance. He has lost his relevance. Oh, glory to God. You know, I love my brother and friend here, Pastor Bobby Phillips, amen. You know, one day he made a statement. Got me thinking. As I was thinking about this scripture today, I thought about him. He said, look, they've done everything to move me in this office, but they cannot do without me. Can I say to you, those of you who play the religious card, it's because you are not relevant where you are. Imagine if the whole church rises up and begins to, I know what salt does. It makes you thirsty. That means there's a way we can make people desire our message. What am I saying in essence? The message doesn't change, but how we communicate it will change. That's why scripture says, hallelujah, he uses, after salt, he uses light. He says, so let your light shine. That means it's a thing you can do. That means there's a way you can make yourself desired. There's a way you can make yourself relevant. Let me destroy a bit of your theology. If God wants to make you relevant, he will. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. That's what has kept you where you are. It's not if God wants to make you relevant, he will. No, no, no. You have to take responsibility. You know, when Philip put a message up once, when I was in Ghana, that's when he shared that message. He said, no part of scripture says that we give our lives to Jesus. I've always believed that truth. He says, every time scripture says we have received the life of God, we have received the life of God. You know why? When we think that we have given our lives to Jesus, it absorbs us of any form of responsibility. So you feel that life I should be living, I have given it to him. So anything he wants to do, let him do with it. But that's not what scripture says. In the New Testament, scripture is saying that he came down and he gave you his life. There's a reason he gave you that life, so that you can do something with it. So I'm doing something with it. So to be trampled underfoot is to lose your relevance. We will have relevant churches in our cities. We are raising relevant believers in their offices. Wherever you are, we can be relevant. Are you with me? So the gospel will never change, but the way we preach it must always stay relevant. The way we relate the gospel must be in such a way that people desire Christ. When he was saying, let men see your good works, what he was saying is this. Communicate it in a way that it can be seen. Communicate it in a way that it can be desired. Good works don't take you to heaven, but good works shine as light. You need to make the gospel attractive. You need to find ways to make it attractive on the job. You need to make it attractive. So what are we saying? Like the sons of Issachar. If you don't understand the times and the seasons, you could have a good message that makes no effect. What made the sons of Issachar stand out was because the Bible said they understood the times and the season, and their brothers were at their command. See, there is a way your business will stand. Other businesses want to know. You can preach through your business. There's a way you comport yourself on your job that can make other industries want to seek what you have. That's why excellence is not a show. We can't afford to be shoddy on the job, lazy, and interpret it as grace. Sorry to say, it's not too much of a testimony when you say, I did not do something well, but they bought into it. You know that bonds, I didn't make it well though. But all of it sold. You're a con believer. You're scamming people, because when you give people, if people pay higher than what the value of a thing is, that's not business. That's a scam. What if you went to buy a brand new car and then, the manufacturers of the car came out 6 months later, I said, guess what? There were many factory issues with that car, but we are thankful to God. All of them sold. Hallelujah. All the cars sold. Hello. You will be suing, two of us. So should you be sued for not passing an exam and you got the job? We will lose relevance with mediocrity. That is why the church should be the place where everything works. And I'm not talking about church service. I'm talking about the church outside the four walls of the church. Our marriages, our children, our careers, everything you do. Oh, concerning Daniel, the Bible says, and an excellent spirit was found in him. This is not a preacher. He was not a pastor. He was a government administrator. He was a politician. Thank you, Lord. Be like the sons of Issachar. You know, in that business you're doing, there are better practices. Have you learned them? I was talking to my wife this morning, and we're talking about, she was talking to me about her school. And the reason she's thinking of firing one of our staff, because I'm still interceding. And she was thinking of firing this staff. I don't know why. And she was explaining. But what that staff did or is doing is what was normal when we were in school. I was wondering in my mind, so what's bad about it? One of the things she was saying is that the teacher came out and was reading out the test results of the pupils in the class. That's not right. He said, you are reinforcing failure in that child. When in our day, they will come out, arrange the thing. Are you getting me? Notice board, everything will be up there. And it helped those of us who could stand to stand and send some where they belonged. And you know, as she was talking, she was too passionate. She was too passionate about it. We've served, we've trained, we've done this, we can't keep it up. He can't stay, he has to go. In my mind, here, what is wrong? Let the other children sit up. They did that to me and worse. Are you getting me? But I used to always pass. It was a joy when they said these are the ones that passed. And she was telling me that, do you know that as he's doing that, she was angry. She was going to take her bath and was spending too much time discussing this thing till we're getting late. I'm like, woman, enter that place. Let's go. You're wasting my time trying to sack a good man. Listen. Because you're fussing about too many things, But in the course of the conversation, she now made a statement. He hit the bullseye for me. She said, because the more you reinforce confidence in the brilliant ones, they pass it. He said, but the more you keep putting those other ones down, you kill their ability to learn. They are here to learn. He said, what do you think you are doing to that child? He said, so right now, the head teacher has been talking to that girl, telling that child, you're intelligent, you're brilliant, you're this. So I said, oh, the focus is to help every child. It's the tomorrow of every child. Listen, when you begin to think the love of God, and you carry a Christ consciousness into everything you do, and the gospel becomes the philosophy behind whatever you do, there is no way you won't be excellent about it. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Why did I start talking about association? Some of the methods through which we have preached the gospel have actually been product of the relationships and partnerships we've been in alliance with over the years. How we do what we are doing today is largely shaped by how we saw it done yesterday. And listen to me, what was done yesterday was good for yesterday. But if you remain at that level, you will not be relevant tomorrow. So what I came here to announce to us tonight is that as believers who want to move forward from where we are to keep our message relevant, is that we must learn to honor the labors of the past, but consciously and deliberately build for the future. Okay, give me the passion. Give me the passion. Meanwhile, let me read New Living to us, the Living Bible. See what the Living Bible says. Any enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense. Then look at what it says. And profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. A wise man is mightier than a strong man. Wisdom is mightier than strength. The Bible says, if you don't keep abreast the fact, you will lose relevance. That's what it means not to profit. You fail. One of the things I look at, while we are busy getting angry with the world is innovating how to communicate evil to the world. The church must wake up. Are you with me? you can't use orthodox traditional means to preach a relevant message in a changing culture. I want to believe you are all hearing what I'm teaching tonight. Look at what Passion Translation says. Say, wise people are builders. That's what I'm telling you. Build. Be a what? A builder. Build something for the future. Architectural designs in the 80s changed. They are different from the 90s. They are different from the designs in 2000. If you pass by a house, you can have an idea of when it was built. Though all houses, people live inside, sleep inside. Why don't they say that it is not just to sleep, it can be anyhow? See, the gospel will never change, but how we go about it will always change. And until you find relevance, and that's why I'm telling you how to shine your light, is by rising up to the occasion. See, we must be communicating better than the world does. I pray I can remove my hat and give you, so that you all see what I'm saying. Wise people are builders. The wisdom of a church will be shown in how it builds. They build what? Families. They build what? Businesses. They build what? Communities, relationships, associations. And through intelligence and insight, their enterprise are established and endure. We can be preaching the same thing Kenneth Hagin preached, but we must not preach it how he preached it. You know, I see lots of people. I was talking to someone. He said, I went to Rema. I've been to Rema. I said, listen, it's not going to Rema that is the solution. I said, if Kenneth Hagin was here today, and he does not change how he's preaching what he's preaching, only his generation will be hearing him. He won't be relevant. So when the baton of ministry is handed over to you, you must understand the rules of the game. You must move when things have changed. Some of you are young men in orthodox mindsets. You are a cake. And nobody wants to hear what you have to say, because you are not saying it in a relevant way. I was telling someone, I said, this year I want to run a series titled Inspired Dialects. He said, why inspired dialect? Which one is inspired dialect? I said, it's just utterance gifts. So. But in the generation I'm in, I cannot go and write utterance gifts. When the news media is trying to capture things, I can't be saying, come and see utterances. You will only attract people in church. I said, I want to buy a screen. I want to buy latest equipment. Someone say, why? Because if you build a cathedral-style building, only you will be inside. The only place the organ is found is in church. Jesus refers to the church as a building. I'll build my church and not the gates of hell. I'll move against it. Hallelujah. Joshua 1:5. After this meeting, you will live here with a cutting edge. God speaking to Joshua. Do you know? Can I say something? How many of you know Moses was a great man? In fact, if you read, I think Deuteronomy 34, that's the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Speaking about Moses, you know how the Bible puts it? That there's never been a man through whom signs and wonders were wrought like Moses. He was a great man. Go there. Deuteronomy 34. Why is it 34? The last chapter of Deuteronomy. I think 9 or so. Lord, let your presence fill this place. Give me verse 9. Deuteronomy 34. Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, but Moses had laid his hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. The Bible says, but since then, there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Number one. Somebody say, see his CD, CV. God knew face in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land. Are you with me? And by all, that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. Continue. Let's go to where he died. Amen. Okay. All Israel. Then go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. See what scripture says. Scripture says, after the death of Moses. So as great as Moses was, he died. Moses' CV can be very intimidating. Thank you, sir. But he's dead. And you are here. You know, the greatest struggle of the church is that we try to be like Moses. We try to resurrect how Moses did it. We try to be Moses. We try to do Moses. I thought that my struggle many years ago isn't that I didn't know what God wanted me to do. It's the courage to do it. Are you getting me? Despite existing norms. This is how it's always been done. And guess what I was doing unconsciously? Unconsciously, I was communicating the same thing to the next generation. The least we can do is create a platform for the next generation to be able to express their own message, express the same message in their own way. It's not to teach them our way of expressing the same message. That's why I took time to tell you the message is powerful. If a time comes when people are not wearing suit to church again, you better stop wearing it. You know why? We don't adopt cultures, but we adapt to it. And you can adapt without adopting.
Thank you for partnering. For more info on partnership and how to become a partner of Christ Family Ministry, please visit us at www.christfamilyministries.org. That's www.christfamilyministries.org or call 090-300-00413. That's 090-300-00413. It's one gospel, one faith, reaching one person at a time, and together we're filling the earth with the beautiful message of our Lord Jesus Christ, presenting every man mature in Him.